What's happening, everybody? Good morning to you. Good to see you. This is the conclusion here of our summer series. Y'all been enjoying this series? It's been awesome. Been having a great time with this over June and July. And y'all, we're at the end of July. Hard to believe, everybody, but we are. Turn to the person next to you and look at them and say, hey, it looks like you've lost a little bit of weight. Come on. Come on. Looking good. Looking good. Hey, I want to give a big shout out to my good friend Corey Nichols from Destiny Rescue in the house. Corey, what's up, man? Corey did a great job last month in June and introducing Destiny Rescue. And so, man, we love Corey, love Destiny Rescue. So good to see you, bro. Look forward to catching up. All right. Well, I want to encourage you, go ahead, grab your message notes. And as you saw on the screens there, we got a new series starting next week that, man, I just tell you, you don't want to miss it. And we also will be beginning our 21 days of prayer. And this is a praying church, everybody. This church was birthed in prayer. And so we just are thankful for that. But I just believe, and I'm going to be sharing some things with you this morning, that I really believe that this message today is going to help us in a few ways. It's going to really prepare us for that series and our 21 days of prayer. But also, I really believe whoever is supposed to be here today, I just felt this in my spirit, is supposed to be here, and that God specifically has something for us. And so as we just end this series and we've been talking about the will of God, I just really believe in my heart and my spirit, something very spiritual, strategic, powerful. I just really believe God wants to speak to us here this morning. And we're also doing something we've never done with 21 days of prayer. And so it's gonna be, I think, better than it's ever been. If you don't know, every January we always have 21 days of prayer and fasting. And then every August we have 21 days of prayer. I think it's important that we just kind of refocus and get ready for the fall. Many people are traveling, still traveling, vacationing. And of course, my greatest prayer over the summer is that we don't take spiritual vacations as well. Amen, everybody. But just a time for us to come in that month of August, get us refocused, get us ready for an amazing fall. And we got our At the Movies series we've been working on for the last few months. Yeah, if you have never been a part of the At the Movies series, we'll tell you more about it later. All right, so leave you hanging, all right? So hopefully you want more. Anyways, but last couple weeks we've been talking about the will of God. And 2 weeks ago talked about the sovereign will of God, what God's doing in the earth, and then talked last week about God's moral will, his written word and what he says. I want to read a few scriptures with you, and then I want to just give us a few reminders, and I'm going to spend my time really just on four things today, and that all applies to the same thing, and that's understanding God's personal will for our lives, all right? Psalm 139:16, it says, all the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. Aren't you thankful for a God who is very intentional and very purposeful in everything that he does in and for our lives? Amen? And so there is no surprises when it comes to your life and your relationship with the Lord. He gets it. Your every moment of your life was planned out. Jesus said in John 10:27 that my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. So really over the last couple of weeks, I've just been hoping and praying through the messages that we've been growing closer and closer to hearing the voice of the Lord in our life and to hearken unto what he's wanting to do. And that's really this just whole summer theme, is that we get to a place that we are closer to Jesus than we've ever been. And everybody shout, let's get closer. So a couple things I want to remind you of, you want to jot down if you follow along in our notes this morning, is remember to do a few things. And again, this is a review from the last few weeks, is eliminate the distractions in your life. Last week, I just titled the message, What Am I Doing Wrong? Because sometimes it often feels as we're trying to discover what God's will is, that we feel like, man, is it something I'm doing? Is there something that I need to be putting into practice in my life that I'm not doing? And so removing the distractions in our life so that we have the clarity to hear and to tune in to God's voice. And even Jesus was in a place that he often, we'll see this in this next verse, had to withdraw and eliminate the distraction in his life. Luke 5:16 tells us Jesus often withdrew to lonely places or solitary places and prayed, that distractions came in and he oftentimes had to go to a place of prayer and devotion to his Father. So eliminate the distractions. Then we want to listen. That's the next thing. Listen for God's voice.
Isaiah 30:21, it says, whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. So we eliminate the distractions, listen to his voice, and it doesn't mean a whole lot if you don't do the third thing here, and that's being obedient. Being obedient with what God says. We can't just listen. How many know we got to put some steps, some action steps to our prayers as well? That there's things that God's going to call us to step out in faith. Amen, everybody? Amen, everybody? All right? And so there'll be things that he calls us to do, and we cannot be afraid. And that's really what I want to talk to us about this morning, is being in a place that we are obedient to the voice of the Lord and what he wants for our lives to do. Jesus said this in Matthew 7:24. Therefore, anyone who hears these words of mine, look at this, and puts them into practice, doesn't just listen, but puts them into practice, is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. I believe it's one thing to pray for revival, and I think it's good. And we want to see revival come. Amen, everybody? But I think it's important that when God calls us, his people, his church, to take steps, we must move forward. This is not an inclusive thing, everybody. The church, we are the church, and we're meant to reach the world. Amen, everybody? And so I want to talk to you today, and I've titled it this way because it's just kind of a sequel. I preached a similar message about 3 years ago. I want to say maybe it was four even. I think it was 4 years ago, actually. And I really felt this in my spirit. I'm going a little bit of a different direction with it today, but kind of a sequel to something some years ago that the Lord laid on my heart that just kind of reminded me of today. But I'm calling it a little bit different, and I'm calling it road signs today. How many have ever been on a trip, and we're fresh off a trip this past week and just growing down at Church of the Highlands and just as leaders, and we were part of our Grow Conference. It was amazing. But how many have ever been on a road trip, and man, how many know if you got to go to the bathroom, you looking for that road sign that points the nearest gas station? Of course, you hoping for a restaurant instead of the gas station. How many know what I'm talking about? Lord, have mercy. Some of them gas stations, though. Woo, Jesus. They need some Jesus. You know what I'm saying? It is bad. Man, so you looking for restaurants, that's usually the way I roll, unless it's real desperate. And how many know desperate times call for desperate measures? So yeah, so you just got, when you got to go, you got to go. Anyway, and or how many know if you want to get your grub on and you hungry, you looking for that next restaurant, you know, road signs. And so what happens sometimes is I think that we miss out on what God is trying to show us. And God gives us, I believe, strong indicators or signs sometimes to just communicate to us the way that he wants us to go. And if we're not careful, how many have ever been on a trip and you've missed your exit? Oh, that's frustrating. It's frustrating when you miss the exit you're supposed to get off. And sometimes we do that in our journey with God. Sometimes if we're not listening and listening to his voice clearly, how many know it's easy and can be easy to miss out on what God is telling us, or the exit we're supposed to take and the thing that we're supposed to be doing. And God's timing is perfect in everything. So everybody say, don't miss the exit. Yeah, don't miss the stop that God wants you to go to in order to do something in you. And so road signs is something I believe it's important. How many know speed limit signs are important? How many struggle with them like I do? All right, it's confession time, everybody, all right? Help me, Jesus. So anyway, but nonetheless, road signs. And so I want us to just talk about what does the will of God look like for our lives. And hopefully we're in a place that over the last few weeks setting us up that we're actively listening to God's voice. What does that look like? And I just believe that when God speaks, there's certain predictable stages that will happen in your life. And I believe you're in one of four of these stages. I want to read this verse in Acts 20, a couple verses, 22 through 24. And this is kind of our groundwork for the day, the scripture. And the context is just, want to lay this out. Paul is leaving Ephesus after planting a church there. He's very emotional, and he's giving a very heartfelt message. And it says this, now compelled by the Spirit. Everybody shout compelled. Compelled. Shout it again, compelled. He said, I'm going to Jerusalem, look at this, not knowing what's going to happen to me there. I only know that in every city, the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. Thank you, Lord, for that encouragement, right? However, I consider my life worth nothing to me if only I may finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me. How many want to finish the race? How many want to complete the task of whatever assignment God's given you? Amen. The task of testifying of the gospel of God's grace. So I want to look at these four stages. I'm going to spend my time on these today. And then we're going to end with prayer and then a time of communion here this morning. So again, I believe you're in one of four of these stages today. And what I'm going to do at the end of some of these is just ask a question for us just to reflect and to think about here. All right? So number one is this. Jot this down. And that's, first of all, the prompting of the Holy Spirit. Everybody say the prompting. It's the prompting of the Holy Spirit. And that is, you can't see it or necessarily touch it, but you know it's there. In other words, I was on a trip a few years back, and when you travel out of Fort Wayne, you usually have to go up to your connecting flight, Chicago O'Hare, one day. Hopefully Fort Wayne gets big enough, we don't have to do that. Amen. All right. Anybody that travels by plane knows what I'm talking about. So anyways, and so went there, and I remember getting off into the terminal, walked into the terminal, and the smell hit me. And I thought, ooh, that smells good. And it smelled like a cinnamon roll, and I thought, I must go. I must go to where this smell is drawing me to see what it is and where it is. And so I went and I followed my nostrils and went further into the terminal and found a Cinnabon little restaurant in there. And I stood before the restaurant and I looked up at the cinnamon rolls and saw how many calories were in one of them. And then I said, "Get behind me, Satan, in Jesus' name." You know. And so it looked good, but daggone, man, you have to run 5 miles after eating one of them bad boys. But I was prompted, here's what I'm saying, by something I couldn't see. And I knew I had to go because it smelled good, everybody. And you know you'd do it too, all right? And Paul said this in verse 22 there. He said, "And now compelled by the Spirit." I want you to get this today. Everybody say compelled again. He said, "I'm going to Jerusalem." I want you to know what that word compelled means. In the Greek, it literally means to be wrapped up in cords, or to be wrapped up by the Spirit of God. And when I read that, I thought, boy, I like that. That we are so compelled that we are a church, and let us be a people that is compelled and on mission to do what God has called us to do. Amen, everybody? But compelled, and for us as a church, you know, my hope as your pastor is, man, we hope that we do funerals well and weddings well. We want to take great care of your kids because they're important to us back there. We just want you to know that always. And your students, our students are coming off an amazing trip. Got another one coming up to Cedar Point. They're important to us, and your needs are important to us as well. And we want to do the best that we can to always help pastor and lead well in all those areas. But that's not our primary focus, everybody. Our primary focus is for the ones that are not yet here. The seats that are open next to you is for them. Amen, everybody? Because, listen, God's lost kids are important to him, and because of that, they're important to us. So we're a church that's on mission to reach people in our city. You know, the stat that, and I'm going to keep this stat before you, out of the 380,000 people that live in the greater Fort Wayne area, only 60,000 are in church today. That's in Fort Wayne, everybody. How many know the harvest is white in Fort Wayne and we got a job to do? Amen? Come on, you can say a better amen than that because we got a job to do, amen? And so it's important that we realize that. But being compelled, so we're compelled here with a mission to go after God's lost kids and see them step into an authentic relationship with Jesus and grow and be discipled and go make a difference with their life, amen? So whatever God is passionate about, we should be passionate about. And I'm just telling you, God is distracted when his kids are far from him. He's focused on that. He's focused on seeing his kids one for Jesus. And so Job 32, it says this, verse 18 and 19, it says, "I'm full of words, and the spirit within me," here it is again, "compels me." Are you being compelled? Are you being stirred? Is there something inside of your spirit that is stirring you? I hope there is. If not, I'm going to help you with that today. Inside, I am like bottled up wine, like new wineskins, ready to burst. How many ever shaken up a Mountain Dew can or a Coke can? And how many know what you get? Right? It's a mess. It's a messy situation. It's a sticky situation, right? But may we be in a place that we are compelled. May we be in a place that we are so stirred up by the things of God that that is our focus, and that's what drives us to get us up every day, to realize that wherever we're at is wherever God wants us to be. Therefore, that's my mission field. That's where God has called me to make a difference at. Amen, everybody? So being compelled, and if you're not compelled, it may be for one of two reasons. One, maybe today that you don't have a relationship with Jesus. And at the end of this service, I'm going to give you an opportunity to know him personally. I'm telling you, God will stir you. Second reason you may not be compelled or stirred up is you may know religion, but you don't know Jesus. And I'm telling you, it's not about a religion, everybody. It's always and will forever be about a personal relationship with Jesus. That's the only thing that's ever going to change you and I, and our only way to heaven. Amen, everybody? Jesus said this. He said, "My sheep, though, know my voice." And are you hearing God's voice? Are you close enough? Been asking this question over the last few weeks. Are you close enough to his voice that you're hearing him? Jesus is talking here in Matthew 7, verse 21. He says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven." Uh-oh. That's a problem, because that's kind of how I was taught. And so, not everybody who says, "Lord, Lord," will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, "Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? In your name drive out demons, in your name perform many miracles?" And I will tell them plainly, look at this, "I never knew you." I never knew you. There's ones that have the form of godliness, Scripture talks about, but denying the power of God. God is a relational God. He wants that personal relationship with us. Here's what I know. The closer I get to God, the closer I grow in my relationship with Jesus, the better I will discern the personal will of God for my life. I'm going to say it again. The closer I get to God, the better I will discern his will for my life. Look at these other couple verses here. Proverbs 29:18, it says, "If people can't see," not talking about your physical eyes, but the eyes of your heart, "without vision, people perish," Scripture says, "what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. But when they attend to what he reveals, they are most blessed. But you will only know what God reveals by your closeness to him and knowing him personally." Are you with me? Ephesians 1 says this, verse 15, it says, "I ask the God of our Master Jesus Christ, the God of glory, to," look at this, "make you intelligent and discerning in knowing him," everybody say that, "personally." There it is again, knowing him. If you're going to figure out God's will, it's by you seeking and growing your relationship with God. So growing in that personal relationship so that your eyes are focused and clear, the eyes of your heart, so that you can see exactly what it is that he is calling you to do. Now, I think for some time, people have made Christianity and following Jesus very difficult. And it's always bothered me. You gotta be careful with religious people, man, because they'll mess you up. Religion will mess you up, all right? That's why you always stay focused on your personal relationship, because we serve a loving God. Amen? That's why I shared this verse, this next one, in June, and I really felt led to share it again here today in John 14, verse 15. Go ahead and put that up there. Would you read that with me? "If you love me, you will obey what I command." One more time. "If you love me..." Now, you can read that one or two ways. "If you love me, you'll obey what I command." It's like, how many know you're getting your kids' attention sometimes? "If you love me, you're not going to make excuses or ask me why. I'm your father." It's like the spirit of Star Wars comes on you. "I am your father." You know what I mean? Like, come on. So you can look at it that way. Or, come on, that's funny right there. I don't care what you say. Or you can look at it as, "If you love me, you'll do what I tell you." Can I encourage you to do something today? Quit getting so focused on the doing part and stay more focused on the loving him part. Because as you fall more in love with him, man, you're just going to do it because you love him and you want to do what he wants for you to do. Amen, everybody? You're with me on that? And so don't make it complicated. Don't make it complicated. Because here's the other thing about God. God doesn't just want us to be faithful, church. This is why discovering and walking in his will is vital to your life. God doesn't want us just to be faithful. He wants you to be fruitful. He wants your life to bear fruit. I believe every one of us have a desire within us that says, man, I want my life to bear fruit, that you take what God's doing. That's why we have a growth track and assimilation that helps people find and discover their purpose and gifts. Why? So they can serve in their call, serve in their purpose. We give them an opportunity to go make a difference, not just here on a Sunday morning, but then encourage them, man, go make a difference in a small group. Start a ministry in that way. And, you know, I've been hearing of multiple groups that are starting this fall. Of just, man, just people that are learning that aspect and saying, man, I'm going to go make a difference with what God has called me to do. And that is the hope.
That is part of my job, is to help equip and that we go out and learn for the glory of God and take what God has given us and go make a difference. Amen, everybody? So God doesn't want you to just be faithful. We got a lot of faithful people in the world, but we need more fruit. Because we only have 60,000 of 380,000 that are currently in church in our city. We have a massive harvest field in Fort Wayne, Indiana. And that's why we're here, everybody. Amen? So here's the question. Jot this down. Is God stirring me? You need to identify that this morning. Is there a stirring in my spirit? And then if there's not, we got to get stirred. We got to ask God to compel us and to make it clear for us. Here's the second thing that's important, second stage that I believe is vital in the journey, and that is certain uncertainty. Certain uncertainty. This is where God's will feels a little wobbly at times. Have you ever been on like a teeter-totter? You know what I'm talking about? A little wobbly. It's like you know God wants you to do something, but it's like you need more details. Like, God, can you hook me up with the rest of the blueprint of this bad boy? And like, what's this all look like? Like, how's this going to happen? You know, and I'm just telling you, there's two reasons why God won't give you all the details. You ready for it? First of all, is number one, is because you can't handle it. Can't handle it. I can't handle it. Man, if God were to show me the next 5 to 10 years of this church and ministry, I would freak out. I might even pee a little. I mean, it just is that bad. It is just that real. I mean, like, I don't want to know. I just trust God and his timing, and we're just going to walk this thing out. Amen, everybody? And here's really the second reason why I'm just, that's funny too, isn't it? All right, here's the second is because we wouldn't need him in the process then. If he gave you all the details. He gave us enough in front of us in the process to take the step of faith. And a lot of people get caught up in logic. They get caught up and focused on facts. And, man, I've seen people miss out on God's best because they're still waiting on the facts and the logic to come through. I'm just telling you, we live this life by faith, everybody. The greater you move in faith, the greater his grace is always there to sustain you. You're never alone. Amen. Everybody say, they're righteous. That was weak. Come on, the righteous. Live by faith. In verse 22, Paul said, I'm going to Jerusalem. Check this out. He said, not knowing what's going to happen there. I ain't got a clue, but what I do know is I'm supposed to go. I got to go. I got. This is what God is. This is compelling. God is compelling me. He has stirred me up. I've got to respond. And I'm telling you, you need to take a step of faith, even if it seems uncertain. I just love Paul's decision where he just made that very clear. I'm going. I ain't got a clue what it all looks like. I just know I'm supposed to go. I'll never forget when we moved from Columbus to Fort Wayne. We had spent, man, all of our, man, just life savings, everything to get us moved here, get a home. And Bethany, as I've shared before, was my sugar mom in that season as I was trying to help, you know, start and plant the dream. Amen. Thank God for that. Amen. And so, but our income was 100%, cut in half. And I'll never forget, we were in this place, and Bethany was down in our home there. Bethany was downstairs with Ashton, and we're about 3 months living in Fort Wayne at that time, 3-4 months in. And I was up in my bedroom, and I was going over the bills, and I was looking at everything. And I was always raised, man, just, I know God's word, but my mama instilled this in me very early on to always give what belongs to God. Amen? And so, and honoring him with that. And so there we were, very, very tight financially. I mean, just unreal. But we've always stayed consistent. I'm telling you, you're giving and just giving God what's his, your consistency in it is vital. And so, and just honoring God. And so here's the principle that God taught me. And so there I was, seeing our rent is due, our water was due, and our electric is due. How many know it's pretty important to pay? Yeah, I mean, right? I mean, you don't have to be a rocket scientist. If we want a home, you're going to have to pay that. So, and it was due in a few weeks. And I remember looking at the checkbook, and I thought, ooh. I thought, Lord, I was trying to, you ever try to make a deal with God? You ever try to, like, talk God into something? Come on, how many know what I'm talking about? You ever try to talk? Like, say, God, can we just make a little deal? Like, when I get the next check, I'll give you some more, a little extra on that one. And I heard the voice of the Lord just say this very simply to me. He said, but don't you trust me? I thought, oh, Lord, don't do that. And he talks to me
so I can understand it. I don't know how he talks to you, but he talks to me real blunt a lot and real matter of fact. And I said, well, Lord, of course I do. He said, then trust me. And I said, but Lord, like you see them, like they lined up. This is a matter of a few weeks here. And the Lord said, trust me. And I'm just telling you, I begin to weep because as the provider of my home, man, I was looking where we're at, and I was like, man, okay, God, we've always done this, and I'm not going to let a hard moment determine this season, especially in the season that we were in. I mean, planting a church, trusting God. And so I called Bethany to come up. I said, hey, babe, this is where we're at. This is what's going on. And I said, we're going to give God what's his. We're going to honor this, but let's pray. We need a miracle. That's literally what I told her. I said, we need a miracle. I said, I don't know how things are going to come about in the next few weeks, but we need a miracle. And so, of course, my girl, she's, come on, we're going to get that miracle. And so we prayed, and we believed, and a couple days went by, nothing. Week went by, nothing. 2 weeks went by, nothing. We're entering the last week, and I thought, man, if you always think God's late, he's always on time, everybody. Just that testing of your faith. And so we had already given our tithe and everything after that, and we were still giving. And I was scheduled to preach, and this is probably a message someday, but God showed up. He gave us the miracle in the middle of nowhere, and I mean that. And so I was scheduled to preach at a small church on the east side of Indianapolis, about 45 minutes to an hour east of Indy, and I preached my heart out that night, shared with the people of that church, man, just the vision and what we wanted to see God do in Fort Wayne. And I'll never forget, you guys, afterwards, a man comes down the aisle, comes up, and just introduces himself to me and talks to me. And he said, Kyle, I just want you to know. He said, man, God spoke through that message to me. And he said, and the vision, this is literally what he said, the vision of what God has called to do in Fort Wayne, he said, is compelling. And I thought, all right, brother. He said, can you stay here a minute? He said, I need to run to my truck and come back. I said, well, I'm the guest speaker. I ain't going nowhere, brother. Go ahead. And so he goes out and comes back in, and he walks up to me, and he shakes my hand. Of course, there's something in that hand. There's a check in that hand. And gave me a big old hug. And he said, I just want you to know I believe in you. Believe in this vision, what God's given. And I looked at the check, y'all, and it was a check for $10,000. I thought, woo, Lord Jesus. And tears just streamed down my face. And I said, man, you ain't got a clue of where we're at, what we're believing for, and needing to raise money for our church to start it. And just thanked him for his faithfulness. I'm telling you, sometimes we don't give God time enough for the miracle to happen. That's why you don't ever give up. Don't ever quit too early. I talked about that last week. Are y'all listening to me this morning? And I thought this was real funny by God, too. He just kind of put an exclamation point on it. 5 days later, another check came in of $5,000, $15,000 in 1 week. I thought, God, now you're just showing off. You know? And I'm just telling you, for some of us, maybe, and this isn't a tithing message, but I'll say this very quickly and I'll move on, that give God time to move. A lot of times what we give once, we just think, and check, it's always been, it's not about the amount, everybody. It's always been about your heart. Because that 10% belongs to him. And man, I don't want what belongs to him staying with me. I want it to go to him. Because he can do more with my 90% than I could do with 100%. All right, hope you get it. All right, it's good. God wants us to live by faith, not by facts. Notice what Paul said this. He just got used to the uncertainty in his life. 1 Corinthians, it says, after I go through Macedonia, I come to you, for I will be going through Macedonia. Perhaps I'll stay with you a while or even spend the winter. He's wanting to kind of hang out, fellowship, so that you can help me on my journey. Wherever I go, I do not want to see you now and make only a passing visit. I hope to spend some time with you if the Lord permits. So I want to hang, want to break some bread with you. I want to go to, want to go to Ruby Tuesdays or whatever and hang out. But if God's got something else, I got to go. Everybody say, I got to go. But I will stay on at Ephesus until Pentecost because a great door, everybody shout a great door. For effective work is open to me. I want you to know there's a great door that God has opened to you. It's your decision whether you're going to walk through it or not. God's not going to push you. He's not certainly going to force you. But then there are many who pose. Or another version said there are many adversaries. Some of us need to take that step even if we feel uncertain and to stop waiting for all the answers before you move forward. Are you here this morning? It says this, 2 Corinthians, that we live by faith. Come on, say it with me. We live by faith, not by sight. If you live your life constantly by what you see, I'm telling you, you're going to have a distracted life. The only thing that should be moving you is what you believe in and what God's word says. Amen? That your faith is always stronger than whatever circumstance. And if it's not, we just got to get closer to him and for him to help us. So here's the question. Where do I need to take a step of faith? Where is it in my life I need to do that? Here's the third thing this morning. And the stage is you're finding God's will, and that's predictable resistance that comes. The next step in the road, mark it down, is Satan is going to try to attack you. He's going to try to oppose everything God's trying to do in your life. I'm telling you, it's going to happen. He said, Pastor, I wish you'd be more positive. I'm positive he's going to try to stop you. Yeah, I'm confident of that. And here's what I know. The fact that you are going through something is a strong indicator that you are going towards something. I'm going to say it again because somebody needs to hear it. The fact that you are going through something this morning is a strong indication that you are going towards something. And you need to remember that this morning, that purpose and God's plan will prevail in all things. His purpose will prevail. And you need to remember Satan is defeated, everybody. Jesus kicked his butt 2,000 years ago. He's defeated then and forevermore. The authority of God is in you. Don't ever forget it. Don't ever let him try to intimidate you or tell you different. Amen? Believe God's word. Acts 20, 23. Paul said, I know that in every city the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. I think for some people, and again, this is why you have to stay close to God. Some people interpret resistance the wrong way. Difficult times do not necessarily mean that you are outside the will of God. I get tired of hearing people saying that, man. Your season and the pressure and the pain that's happening, I'm telling you, there's purpose in what you're going through. God's going to do something great through you. I'll never forget, as my mom has battled a disease for some years, had somebody try to tell her, well, it's your sin. That's why you're going through this. I said, Mom, it's better that you heard that, not me, because if it were me, I would have karate chopped him in the throat. I'm just telling you, like, I don't want to hear your religious answer to that. No, thank you. But in the midst of I'm going through something, I'm going towards something. And God will see me through. And I believe, in fact, the fact that you are going through something is a strong indicator that you are closer to God's will and his purpose than you've ever been. Come on, shout, don't give up. For many of you, I know you don't know this. And I felt real led this morning to share this with you. There have been many sleepless nights for us. Especially in this year. And for Beth and I both, and a lot for me, many tears. The devil and his fight has been at our front door this year. And it's been, how many of you said 2017 has kind of been a tough year? Is it just me? Okay, I'm gonna help you with something, because I want to get something in your spirit before you leave today, all right? And I want to share something with you, very, very personal, and I try to be very transparent. And things I go through, because I'm not Superman. Oh, there's only one Superman. Amen? Amen? All right? It's Jesus. And so, but back in March, man, I just had this crazy, I really can't even tell you what it was, thing inflict and hit my body. I nearly collapsed up here on one service, March 5th. And I'll never forget, I went and saw the doctor. I was not really pleased with what my doctor said, because it was kind of wham, bam, thank you, ma'am, in and out the door. And so my good friends, Dave and Kate Sumrall, man, just hooked me up with some great doctors. And so I've been driving a lot from Fort Wayne to Indianapolis, just getting some good attention from some doctors down there and some help, amen. And so, but my blood pressure, man, was through the roof. That's what happened that morning. And anxiety, never had that, never battled any of those two things. Young man, and never went through any of that stuff. And it was intense, migraines, and just all kinds of stuff wreaking havoc, trying to push through. And in the midst of it, the devil tries to tell me, oh, you ought to just quit. Ah, it's too much. You just quit and call it quits and just be done with it. And in the midst of that, of this season, and I'm really about out of it now, thank you, Jesus, but realized in the natural and the spiritual, I needed to make some changes. And I think when something's happening, you don't ask why, you ask what. God, what is it? What is it I need to do? What do I need to change? I'm not asking why I'm going through this. I truly believe that God will bring about a situation sometimes. God doesn't inflict sickness. Don't misunderstand me on that. But God will bring about a situation in order to bring a revelation. I am telling you, that is the gospel truth. You look at the story of Lazarus. The people said, he's dead. Well, see, the interesting thing about that story that a lot of people forget is when Jesus went in to raise Lazarus from the dead, they knew him just as healer at that time. They didn't know him as resurrection. So he used a situation to bring about a revelation. Y'all with me? If you're with me, shout, I'm with you. All right. And so in the midst of this, I made some changes naturally and just eating and everything. And oh, by the way, I've lost 26 pounds, everybody. Come on. And then made changes, and that's helped. And then spiritually, redirecting, just focus, prayer, and just different things, and heeding the friends and voices in my life. And I'm so thankful, and I'm stronger and getting stronger even today, and feel a lot better, a lot better than I did a few months ago. But I say all that to say the enemy tried to take me out, everybody, and he did not succeed. And here's what I know. What kept me going was I was compelled by a vision that God wants to do and accomplish in this great city for the glory of God. It's not about me, but it is about what Jesus wants to accomplish in this city, and it will happen. You've got to make the decision that where I'm at is not where I'm going to be. I'm going to keep moving forward in Jesus' name. Amen, church. And I've just learned, greater is he who's in me than he who is in the world. I know I ain't got time for some stupid devil when God's already defeated him. That's why the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 2, wait very quickly here, for we wanted to come to you, certainly I, Paul, did again and again, but Satan stopped us. And that word, that part, Satan stopped us, literally means in the Greek that Satan cut a ditch in our road. And what do you do when there's a ditch in the road? You either go around it or go over it. And I just believe God is saying, it's time for my people to go over that thing, overcome that thing. We've got freedom small groups, several happening this fall. It's time to get free and to move in the destiny that God has called you to do. Come on, somebody shout amen. Amen. I believe it. I believe it. So here's the question. Where is the enemy attacking me? Where is he attacking me at? Here's the last one this morning, and that's uncommon clarity. Uncommon clarity that will come. When you make the decision to pursue God, uncommon clarity will come. When you stay focused on his word, focused on his will, put aside every distraction. Your focus, your whole life revolves around what God wants, not what you want. And then you run with perseverance. Verse 24, I consider, Paul said, my life worth nothing, if only I may finish the race, complete the task the Lord Jesus Christ has given me, the task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace. I just want to end this with this story, and then we're going to pray. There was a point in Israel's history where they were attacked by the Babylonians. I'm actually going to preach this Labor Day weekend. We're going to have a Vision Sunday. I'm going to update you on some things and building just where we're at, what we're believing for. But they invaded Jerusalem, the Babylonians did, took all the people captive, took them back into exile as slaves. Babylonians destroyed Jerusalem in that time. They tore down and burned down the city and its walls. And then 70 years passes, and there's a guy that gets a smell of a cinnamon roll, and that he's compelled. And his name is Nehemiah. And he gets compelled and said, I've got to go back and fix my city. I'm not going to leave it in shambles. God ends up giving him favor with the Babylonian king. And he goes back with a compelling thing to rebuild his city. Full of absolute uncertainty, he goes. And the moment he gets back to his home city, he was met with resistance. Don't give up. No matter what's happening, the resistance that comes. You remember this word this morning. He's uncertain of his own ability. He says, man, we're going to get to work anyhow. And through the whole process, there was two guys, man, that kept trying to bring them off the wall. Sanballat and Tobiah. You read it in your Bibles there. They were devising a plot to get that work to stop, to disrupt God's plan and God's purpose for them. And I want you to watch the uncommon clarity that came to Nehemiah in chapter 6, verse 3. It says this, so I sent messengers to them, Nehemiah talking, saying, I am doing a great work. Everybody shout, I'm doing a great work. So that I cannot come down. I'm going to stay focused to you. Why should the work cease while I leave it and go down to you? In other words, I don't have time for the distractions. I don't have time to go away from what God has done. I'm going to stay locked in, focused on what God wants and His will, because it's a great work. Whatever God wants to do in you and through you is a great work. I promise you, it's worth fighting for. It's worth standing up for. What God wants to accomplish through you in this church, it's a great work. Everybody shout, it's a great work. So here's what I know. Jot it down and we're going to pray. That when vision increases, options decrease, making it easier for you to discern, to discern, the will of God. The distractions are done away with. I'm so glad that God doesn't see you and I as we are, but He sees us as we will be. He recognizes and sees the potential in every one of us. And there's nothing, I promise you this morning, that makes the devil more nervous than your God-given potential. It's time to step in to what God has and to continue to move forward. Even though resistance there, God is greater. And I'm telling you, God desires to do a miracle. For some of us, the miracle may be right in front of you. What you've been believing for, the simplicity of it, may be right in front of you. Listen and focus in. Come on what God wants. Would you stand to your feet? I want to pray. And here's what I'd love us to do this morning. If you're comfortable with it, would you just extend your hands just towards heaven this morning? And I want us to pray together. I want to encourage you here in just a moment for you to open up your mouth and talk to the Lord. And just declare right now, Lord, with hands lifted towards you, we declare your will to be accomplished in our lives. Come on, for some of you, you need to ask and declare the will of God. You may know it. You may know the destiny, the purpose that God has for your life. Declare it. God, I declare your will to come to pass. I declare your purpose is coming to pass. Come on, in my life, in my marriage, at home, in my family, at my job, in my career, in this ministry. Come on, open up your mouth. Come on and just declare it. God, I welcome and invite your will and your spirit to come in. And maybe you're in a place that you're discovering it. Just pray something like this. God, help me to see. Help me to hear your voice in the direction that I need to go to follow your will for my life. That's it. Come on, out of your own mouth this morning, say, God, I need you. I need your direction. I need your direction, Holy Spirit. Your will be done. Your will be done. We need you, God. We want your will. We don't want what we want. We want the will of God for our lives. In the name of Jesus, everything trying to resist and oppose you, I declare in the mighty name of Jesus to break off your life. Satan, you have no authority over these people. And I declare the power of Jesus Christ, that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead, lives on the inside of you. God, I thank you for that this morning. Come on, let's shift our prayer. God, we thank you for the will of God in our church. Come on, that you, God, would accomplish everything that you want to do through us as the local church in our city. God, we realize there are a lot of lost kids in the city of Fort Wayne. There's a lot of people that don't know you. There's a lot of people, God, that are not in church. But God, that you would raise us up with a tenacity and a grit and a boldness, God, to be proclaimers of the name that is above every name, and that is Jesus. God, we declare your kingdom come, your will be done at Elevate City. And we honor you and we love you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Come on, put your arms down. Just keep your heads bowed right where you're at. If you're here this morning, I'm going to give you an opportunity. I told you I would. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus, I'm going to give you an opportunity here this morning right now. Maybe this is totally new for you. In just a moment, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand with boldness and say, man, that's me. We're all going to pray a prayer together. Maybe you're even here and you just got off track somehow. Don't even know how, but you recognize, man, I need a fresh start with God. I need to recommit my life. I'm talking to you too. Come on, here's what I want you to do. Forget about who's on your right and your left. This is a moment between you and God. And on the count of three, if that's you, I want you to shoot your hand straight in the air. Say, man, that's me. Count me in. Count me in. Come on, one, two, three. All over this place, say, that's me. Yeah, yeah, hands up. Yeah, gotcha. Yeah, proud of you, man. Gotcha. Yes, sir. Praise God. You can put your hands down. Come on, let's pray this prayer with them, church. Come on. Say, Jesus, I give you my life. I repent and turn from my sins. Thank you for your forgiveness. And thank you for loving me. I declare I'm a child of the King. I belong to you, Jesus. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, somebody say a good amen in the house.